Welcome to Death Hauler, Season 5, When Bad Animals Go Bad, with your hosts, the Reverend Dr. Death and Lyraina. This season will include love.
Do you know how your husband died?
Oh, yes. I killed him.
Transformations. And certified good boys and girls.
Cujo, what are you growling at?
Remember, when you're in Death Hauler, listener discretion is always advised.
Perfect, go bad, dang!
Everyone, welcome back to Death Hauler. I'm your host, the Reverend Dr. Death, and joining me as always, my co-host, Lyraina. With winter on its way out, are you ready for one last blast of Florida snow, Lyraina?
Florida snow. I was like, what? Snow?
That is right. We are caught in a white tornado this episode as we cover the very odd tale of a black bear that developed a taste for nose candy and promptly passed away, at least in real life. The movie version of the same story decides to play around with this concept a bit and show us an alternate reality where a hyper-aggressive mama bear on Peruvian marching powder wrecks some shit.
Peruvian what powder?
Marching powder. That's out of Deadpool. I thought that was a pretty good way to describe it.
Oh, my God.
So lace up your hiking boots, grab some bear mace, and join us as on the trail as we discuss Cocaine Bear. Podcast plug. If you're enjoying this podcast, we would appreciate it if you'd take the time to like, comment, subscribe on whatever podcast platform you prefer. It helps us get more visibility on podcast listings and helps us grow. Also, consider following us on social media. You can find us on TikTok and Twitter under Death Hauler Pod, and we can be found on Instagram and Facebook under Death Hauler Podcast. We appreciate everyone who listens and hope you enjoy the show. Movie discussion, the one and only for this episode, Cocaine Bear from 2023. Tagline, get in line.
I did not know that was the tagline, and that's actually hella good.
Yeah. There's another one, but that's the best one. Directed by Elizabeth Banks, written by Jimmy Warden, music by Mark Mothersbaugh.
Holy and like, fuck!
That Mark Mothersbaugh, Devo, made the theme song for the Rugrats.
Yep.
Tons of other movies. He even made the music for Pee Wee's Playhouse.
he has done so much. And I don't know that people realize it, because I feel like he's as big, if not slightly bigger than, why can't I think of,
Danny Elfman.
Yes.
He's actually more prolific than Elfman. Like, if you look at the amount of movies he's done the score for, it's way more than Elfman has.
Yeah.
And I would argue, too, that it's probably, unlike Elfman, which is good and a bad thing, when you hear an Elfman score, you know it's Danny Elfman.
Yeah, 100%.
But with Mark Mothersbaugh, when you find out that he'd done the score for something, it's like, that sounds nothing like anything he's done ever. And it's just like, well, I mean, that's what he does. He just changes it up all the time. Made for a budget of $30 million. It made $90 million in the theater. So it was a moneymaker, at least.
Yeah. I mean, it 36. So it made three times its budget. So it made basically like the bare minimum of what they want to make.
Yeah. If you add on another, $15 million, which is probably what it was for advertising for the movie, might have been more. I don't know, because I do feel like they advertised the shit out of this movie when it came out. But if you add on at least just $15 million more, it still made double its budget. So, I mean, yeah. That's profitable.
Yes.
Principal players, we have Kerry Russell playing Sari. I think it's Sari in the movie. Proverbial mama bear.
Yeah, she was actually.
She was Felicity.
Yes, she was.
From the TV show.
Yes.
She was also in Mission Impossible 3 and Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. I feel like I saw her in other stuff besides that, though. And when I got to looking at IMDb, I didn't see it. I don't know why, but, like, there's something about her face, and she might just look like the actress that's in that movie, but I could have swore she was in Starship Troopers, and I did not see that on her IMDb. So, I guess it's one of those things where, you know, Hollywood actresses, there's, like, some of them are clones of each other, like, you know, they almost look like they're clones of one another. It might be that situation.
Okay.
We have Brooklyn Prince playing Dee Dee. She just wanted to see a waterfall. And then she got introduced to a cocaine bear.
Yep.
She did see the waterfall, though, eventually.
Yes,
and then
she
had
did.
To jump off of it.
Yes.
She was in Home Before Dark, a TV show, and she was in The Florida Project, which is, if I recall right, that's a pretty fucked up movie. It's like, I mean, this family that, if it's what I'm thinking of, it might have something to do with Disney. Like, this family lives in this trailer park. Like, it's like almost like filmed in a documentary style. Like, they're trying to make their way to Disney, and when they get in there, like, I don't know, there's issues and stuff. So it's a weird movie.
Yeah.
Christian Convery plays Henry, who is no stranger to cocaine, or at least according to him, he's not, because he's done it before, and he knows the good stuff.
Oh, okay.
He was in Sweet Tooth, which was actually a pretty good, like, post-apocalyptic Netflix show, I believe is where it was on. And he's in The Monkey that's coming out.
Oh,
well,
shit,
came out, like, last week, I guess.
Oh, fuck, we're supposed to be watching that too, huh?
Yeah, but it's not been around me, so I've been having to, like, wait to see if it'd show up. They eventually got Heart Eyes, so maybe they'll bring The Monkey to the theater that's near me, so.
Okay, fuck, I'm trying to think. I'm like, do I take the kids? What? I don't know. Anyways,
it's supposed to be. Now, I will tell you this. They are saying it's way more of a comedy than they anticipated.
But I do. Okay. I don't know why I said, aw, like I wouldn't be.
We love horror comedies. Yes. What are you talking about?
That is true. There's the ones that probably got the highest scores. So,
yeah. Margot Martindale plays Ranger Liz, who's looking for some Ranger Stranger Danger.
Ranger Stranger Danger.
She was in Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story. She played his mama in that. And I feel like I've seen her in a bunch of other stuff too, but she's,
I agree. Yeah.
She's kind of like a character actress, like just, you know, plays these odd characters in the background, you know? Yeah. Jesse Tyler Ferguson plays Peter, who is half the man he used to be. And he's from Modern Family, which, you know, played part of the gay couple on the show.
Yes. The actual gay guy.
Yeah, and he was the son of Ed O'Neill on that show, if I remember right.
Oh,
like,
okay.
How it played out, like, he was the son to him, and then, like, the sister to the main character or whatever. And
you know, as much as I love Sofia Vergara, I'm surprised that I have not watched more. And Ed O'Neill, I am surprised I have not watched more of Modern Family, because every joke I love.
Honestly, Ed O'Neill and Sophia are the two best things on the show. Mm-hmm. Like, I tried watching it. It wasn't, like, my favorite sitcom, and I know that's heresy to a lot of people because they're like, you don't like it. It's like, not that I don't like it. It's just like, if I rank it amongst, like, you know, stuff like Community, The Office, Parks and Rec, it's way down there for me. Like, I like sections of it, but then, like, the main character was named Ty Burrell or whatever it is. Like,
yeah.
He's too... I don't know. His attitude in the show is like too laid back, too dry, sarcastic type humor. It doesn't jive well with me. Alden Ehrenreich plays Eddie, the son of a drug lord in the movie.
Yeah.
He was in Oppenheimer, but he was also Han Solo in Solo, a Star Wars story. He doesn't even look like same dude.
Okay. That I'm like, I'm, yeah, never mind.
O'Shea Jackson Jr. plays David, who can't keep a nice shirt or shoes because they keep getting blood on them,
mm-hmm.
or the gum or some kind of nonsense. He was in Ingrid Goes West, and of course, he played his dad in Straight Outta Compton,
which is fucking wild because
they look exactly the same.
They look exactly. I know, and I'm like, I was like, is this? First, I thought it was Ice Cube, and I was like, is this Ice Cube? But CGI or something to make him look younger? No, it's his fucking son.
It's he's just a shade lighter. That's literally it. Like, yes. I mean, he cloned himself basically.
Yeah. Like, the printer was running out of ink a little bit, but you know,
and, we have Ray Liotta playing Sid, the drug lord who has to get that coke back in the movie.
They're not getting that coke back. There's so many bags that got ripped up and destroyed and
so many that got snorted. Yes. I did not realize that Ray Liotta was on Saint Elsewhere back in the '80s. Like he was on a lot of episodes of it too.
I don't know what that is, but are we surprised?
It's like an old, like in the '80s it was, and I want to say that Johnny Depp might've been on that, but maybe I'm thinking of Saint Elmo's Fire. Anyways, Saint Elsewhere was imagine ER, you know, the TV show that came out later, but with like a little bit more like comedy to it, just a smidge. That's basically what a Saint Elsewhere was in the '80s. He was also in Goodfellas, which I mean, that's what everybody knows him from. It's never that fucking meme.
I've never heard of that.
It's the meme, for God's sake. The one where he's like literally laughing.
Oh, yes.
And we have Field of Dreams, and then he was in Sin City, A Dame to Kill For, which both the Sin City movies are. I mean, I love them. I love both of them, and I love what they did, what Rodriguez did with those movies. I'm just going to say it now. Ray Liotta is the best fucking thing in this movie, and it's a shame that he's not in it more.
I know.
You could also see that he was sick when he was filming it because he looks bad in this movie. And it was his last film, folks, so he died right after this. We have Isaiah Whitlock Jr. playing Bob, the cop and the dog dad. And I have to put this in here because of the meme, but he's the shit guy. That if you see that meme of a black guy and he's just like, shit, got you now, like that is him from The Wire. That's the TV show.
Oh, okay.
That was that guy.
Yeah.
He was also in Goodfellas. There's a little bit of, you know, crossover there. And I have to throw this one in here, even though I'm not going to cover the rest of the people in the movie. Scott Sice plays the paramedic. And the reason I throw him in this, because if you've ever got on TikTok or Instagram, you have seen this guy pop up whenever he's just like, it's like, oh, you can't find something out there, ma'am. Well, and then it's like kicks in the music and he's like, well, let me just tell you, there's nothing in the back. And even if there is, we're not looking for you because we fucking hate you guys. So he's that guy that's like, that always does like the videos about the retail customer or the retail worker that just hates the, you know, the bullshit that they get on a regular basis at retail locations. I know I was recommending his stuff forever ago. And when I saw him in the movie, I'm like, is that same fucking guy? And I was like, it has to be. And it was.
Okay. It does not resonate with me. I just, you know, I don't pay attention to anything.
I'll try to find one of his things and send it to you.
Okay.
I want to say 2020 was that heyday of his videos like that he had. And then he kind of like, I guess he parlayed that into more like movies and stuff.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a sad statement on movie, you know, actors and actresses anyways.
Yeah.
Like they literally now look to see who's got like increase or the biggest followings on like social media, and they cast people like that, and that doesn't mean you can act. I mean,
yeah,
it doesn't mean anything. Hell, you had a viral video.
Oh fuck,
that literally was just you dressed up as slutty Jabba.
Jabba the slut. That was you know what's so funny, also I believe, what was that, 2020 or 2021 or whatever,
some
dumb idea that I had and didn't think anybody would see it. Like, I kind of made that. I was like, here, Kayla, look at this stupid video I made. And then all of a sudden, it blew up. And I was like, what the? Nobody was meant to see this.
I'd never seen anything, like, blow up as much as, I mean, like, the people I knew, like, you know, an actual. It was just like, all of a sudden, it was just, like, how many, over thousands of views of this thing?
God, it's upwards of over, close to 1 million views on it, and the thousands of shares, thousands of likes, thousands of comments. Like, it blew up. That shit was funny. You know what was even funnier, though, is how many people called me fat. I was like, holy shit, like, dang, I thought.
Okay. What's worse, to be fat shamed or slut shamed? I mean, because
I was both, for sure, yeah.
There's a few more people in the movie, but that's like, I mean, that guy I just had to throw in there because I was like, why'd they get him? Like, that's weird. But
yeah,
he was all right in the movie. He played his part pretty well.
Yeah, he did good.
Synopsis. In the 80s, Colombian nose candy was the drug of choice for many. From nightclubs to Wall Street, America ran on cocaine and not Dunkin's. It was during this grand time in American history that the strange case of a Kentucky paratrooper, trooper/policeman/lawyer turned drug smuggler, Andrew Carter Thornton II, became a nationwide story. Not only was he found with a ton of money, 70 pounds of cocaine, and a parachute that did not activate, but there was a second body found as well, that of a 170-pound black bear located in Georgia with about 70 more pounds of cocaine nearby. This movie is the fictionalized version of those events that occurred with a bunch of gore and humor thrown in for good measure. If it's brown, lay down. If it's black, fight back. Am I even allowed to say that? Because it sounds bad.
Yeah, that's pretty fun. And you know what? Can I just say that both of those taglines are fucking amazing?
That is not the tagline. If you're talking about that, if it's brown, lay down. I added that. The other tagline is legit inspired by true events. Like, stupid. How lame is that?
That is so dumb. But the first one, Get in Line, was actually really good.
Yeah, Get in Line's good because of the, you know, obvious connections to what they're talking about. But,
yeah.
Quote from Henry. Hey, Dee Dee, do you think my dad has done cocaine? And then Dee Dee, your dad has definitely done cocaine.
And the way she said it, because she has this little hick accident. Oh, your dad has definitely done cocaine.
Well, Henry has the worst accent of the two.
He's way stronger. Yeah. But the way she said it was, I don't know. I heard it and I was like, oh, that's so cute.
I tried not to pay too much attention to Carrie Russell's attempt at a Southern accent. She was going for the Georgia one, which is a little bit easier to pull off, even though it is Northern Georgia.
Yeah.
Nobody who attempts like a Southeastern Kentucky accent could pull it off. So I'm glad they didn't try that.
Yeah.
They went for the Southern drawl more than anything. Henry, don't worry, bears can't climb trees. And then Peter, of course they can. And that's whenever they freak out and the bear starts climbing the fucking trees on them.
Well, the next part of that quote was, then why are you up here? Which is, that's a legit statement. If bears can climb trees and you're like, duh, of course they can. Well, motherfucker,
why did he get up in one?
Yeah, why are you here? Like, what the fuck is happening?
Eddie, the bear is a girl, the kid Stash. And how the hell do you know that? And then Eddie's, because its vagina is on my ear. That's when the bear's like asleep on top of him.
Yes.
Well, semi-dead, semi-comatose, but whatever.
She was getting freaky deaky with him too at some point, it felt like.
Yeah. She was sniffing around and doing some stuff.
Pedo
man's
bear.
Best friend. A little bit. And finally, Ponytail, you're going to shoot him? And then Ranger Liz, hell yes, I'm going to shoot him. He took a bite out of my ass.
Ooh.
All right, movie review. Visuals. Now, I got to throw this out there because this kills me. That CGI bear fucked this movie up. They would have went, the CGI is not great in scenes. In fact, there in a lot of places, it's not the best. But if they would have at least had some practical effects, some animatronic, like something, it would have helped. I mean, but every stinking time you saw the bear, it was just so exaggerated. And maybe they meant that to be the thing. But it was like a cartoon at times. And it took me, I get that this was more of a comedy maybe than it was supposed to be a horror movie. But I feel like the look of the bear being so cartoonish a lot ruined any real, like, I don't know, scare potential it had.
Can I tell you my favorite CGI scene, though, that I thought looked really, really good?
Okay.
It was in the cabin, or the ranger's office, if you will.
Yeah.
Where the bear was locked in one of the back rooms. Ranger was in the main room dying. And the paramedic goes in there, and the bear comes out of the darkness. And you could tell it's CGI, but I thought it looked good.
Well, that scene was okay, but the reason that some of the scenes in the caves were okay, but that's because they could hide the worst of it with darkness.
Yes, so I agree. So it wasn't all terrible, but yes, the bear had as much facial expression as Deadpool in his freaking, mask.
It did. I mean, there was times when it got like super high on cocaine that its eyes did stuff that made it look like, I mean, it looked like some old Hanna-Barbera cartoon or something. I mean, it was like Yogi Bear, like, you know, or something, the way that they did it.
Well, it didn't look the greatest, but I also didn't think it was the worst, and I thought it was funny. And rewatching this movie, and I know we'll get into it a little more, but I'm going to say it now just because I think the comedy aspect helped. But this movie really was a horror film. Like, I didn't think it was at first. There was horror and gore in this film.
The gore is what saves the movie because the gore effects are actually pretty decent.
Yes, they're pretty good.
Especially the scene where the ranger shoots like that. She tries to shoot the bear, and she shoots that one punk kid or whatever and, like, blows his head out, with the bullet.
Yes.
Like, that. There's a lot of good gore scenes like that in the movie. The one with the one ranger gets ripped in half and then his leg drops down. And, I mean,
I love when the ranger, the main ranger lady, falls out of the ambulance face first.
Oh, and then just like the face just like being ground up on the asphalt.
God, dude. It was like, holy shit, man. And then the dude that got shot in the head, I think watching his brains kind of get exploded.
How was that ranger still alive at the end of the movie?
Oh, my God. I didn't realize that.
They go over to her and like she's still moaning and stuff. And I'm just like, how the fuck is she still alive?
Oh.
I mean, from the blood. From the blood loss,
yeah.
I mean the trauma to the face. It's little things like that. I mean, I get that they were going for a comedic effect, but like you need a balance. It's like, you know, I always think like back to like Shaun of the Dead as being like the one that I love the most, just because when the shit hits the fan in that movie, people die.
Yes.
But in this movie, it's like they pulled back. It's like, nah, we can't kill her. We killed the paramedic who had nothing to do with anything.
Okay.
We can't let this one lady die.
No. I'm not looking at it that way at all. The way I'm looking at it is, how horrific was it that she was still alive after everything she had been through? Think of it that way.
I mean, it's bad, but I mean, there's a certain point where my disbelief just gets like, you know, they've went too far with that one.
I will 100% agree with you on that.
It's like in Terrifier 2 with the scene and the spoiler for people who, you know, but the one girl who literally has her arm ripped off, she has salt and vinegar poured on her and like, and she's still alive when her mom comes in there. And it's just like, it became like, I mean, I get they meant for that to be so ridiculous that it stood out. But I mean, like, you know, that's the kind of stuff. It's like, okay, come on now. That person would have died of, you know, shock before they would have ever got to this point.
And that's what I'm wondering with this lady, too, is would she have died? Because I thought she was going to die from a heart attack inside of the cabin.
Yeah, she was on the verge of like just, I mean, being complete. And she didn't, and nobody gave her any blood to like, you know, resolve of that. So
it is unbelievable. But if it were possible, is all I'm saying. And because most people are not knowledgeable like you in terms of this doesn't make sense. Maybe it seems common sense, but you'd be surprised what isn't. Now, someone like me that kind of didn't put two and two together, that too much trauma had happened already. I'm thinking if this were even possible, that would be horrific if I was still alive through all that.
Yeah, I mean, see, that's more believable for me whenever they do it like they did in, what was it, Alice, Sweet Alice, where the person's foot got stabbed or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Like, and just like we talked about it then, you can imagine that pain and you can imagine like just, you know, like having to endure like even more of it. Which they actually do a pretty good scene in Heart Eyes, believe it or not, with somebody's foot getting stabbed and them having to walk with the knife still in their foot.
Ooh, yeah.
But like, I don't know, like whenever you just drag on a death to the point that it's just like, I mean, there's a point where it becomes comical and it's like in that. And again, this was supposed to be a horror comedy or maybe a comedy, a black comedy, if nothing else, because I feel like it leans way more into the comedy than it does the horror, in my personal opinion. But,
yes.
I just, that one got me. I was just like, come on, like she should have been dead. Like, I mean,
I completely forgot she was alive at the end.
The black cop, you know, I don't know if I think he was still alive. It was fine. 'Cause he got shot and you know, you can believe he would have survived, but Like, no, I don't buy that the ranger lady. I don't know. She shouldn't have survived that.
There really wasn't any reason for it. So I agree with you on that.
It didn't add to the movie. They just gave like a little scene for Henry to react to where he's like, ugh, you know, and then he walks away. I'm like, he could have done that anyways if he saw her face. I mean,
yeah,
that didn't help.
Is there any more gore that, because we're talking about visuals right now. We talked about the CGI not being great. We talked about the gore being amazing. But before we jump on that, are we in agreement that the overall cinematography of the film was actually really good?
It was for the most part. There was, I liked the scene at the beginning of it whenever they had the Thornton, you know, guy in the plane and how they filmed that. And I liked a lot of the like little, you know, scenes or whatever that they did in between. There's only a couple times in the movie that gets a little bit, I don't know, you would say flat or static, but, mm-hmm. and that's like when O'Shea's like in the bathroom with those three kids.
Yeah.
They mix it up a little bit with him, like in the fight that he does with them, but the camera doesn't really move around that much.
Yeah.
I don't know that there's a little bit in that kind of loses. I mean, that's not like the best, but overall they did a decent job of, especially the wilderness and the area they're in. Like that scene with the, and I forgot to mention him, but that one, hiker from Iceland or whatever he's from at the beginning of it.
Oh yeah. You know,
Olaf, which is, that's actually, their names were Elsa and Olaf because they were making fun of Frozen. Oh, shit.
Even though in my mind that was Tormund.
Yeah. It was Tormund from Game of Thrones. And you were wondering where Brienne of Tarth was at.
Yes.
Because that was this woman. But, I got to give it up to a fellow redhead. Like, I mean, good on that dude. But
yes.
Anyways, like the scenes at the beginning of the movie were beautiful I thought they were filmed better than some of the ones later on in the movie with that. And when I found out that they added those, that they wasn't actually in the script, I'm like, you did so well with those and that intro scene. Like, why was some of the actual scenes in the movie like not filmed as well? Like, I don't understand that. It's, you know.
Yeah, I agree. Because it was, I think the clarity of those scenes was a lot better. And then you get to, now that I think about it, because I said the overall cinematography was good, now that I think about it, the wooded scenes, I don't know what oh my God, they're spooning each other. My dogs are in the background for the audience, just having a therapy session behind us, I don't know. But they're hugging each other, and it's adorable. Anyways, the wooded scenes were kind of dull now that I think about it, I should say.
Versus that first part, because they really, like, I mean, visually, like, the colors popped in the beginning of it. And then, like, even when you see him again, when he pops back up for that brief scene or whatever to kind of, like, tell him that, you know, that the bear took the girl to the cave, he doesn't. The scene then doesn't look as, you know, vibrant and good as it did before. It kind of is a bad contrast between the two of them. The water scenes were all right at the end. I'll give them credit for that.
I liked them. Yeah, I was about to say, I'm glad because, yes, they were CGI. Yes, that was not a real cave, as far as I know. We'll get into trivia if there's more information.
It might have been. It was filmed in Ireland, so it could have been.
Oh, shit, I didn't know that. Holy fuck.
Or as they would say, Ireland.
Ireland, oh my God.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I thought they looked good, so I guess we'll jump into that when it happens.
I don't know if there's a lot of information on that, but they did film it in Ireland, so they could have filmed that in like an actual, you know, cave system. It's just, I got a lot of a Goonies vibe from those scenes in the cave.
Yes, which is so funny because I get a lot of shit for not being the biggest Goonies fan in the world. It's like, I think it's a good movie. I think it's a nostalgic and nice, you know.
I think everybody I've ever heard, if they were not the right age range and they didn't see it at the right age range when it came out.
Oh, I didn't, yeah.
They shit on it because
I don't shit on it. I just dismiss.
Well, I know, but like I've heard like on a Nerdrotic podcast, like Gary and like some and like Chris Gore, they kind of shit on it because like they're 50, you know, they're in their 50s, so they would have been too old for it when it came out.
Yeah,
and when they saw it, they were like, this is like just. Which is what it was, like, this is just Spielberg for kids, like, you know, there's nothing to this movie.
Yeah.
Whereas like if you were like our generation, which is what it was meant for, we were the little brothers, little sisters, or maybe like, you know, whatever, to the Gen Xers, that movie was made for us. Like when we watched it, like that was our movie. You
yes,
know?
So, I know. And I didn't see it at the right time. Of course, always surprised, you know. Big shocker. I'm trying to think. There's so many movies that one of my friends recently, he's like, oh, have you seen this movie? Have you seen that? But I know I haven't seen those movies. And I mean, it's not worth discussing because they're not horror related. But then I came at him with, well, have you seen this horror film? Have you seen this horror film? Have you seen this horror film? Motherfucker has it. So guess what? Bitch, don't come at me for my movies that I haven't seen. I'm going to make you watch some horror and it's going to be horrible.
Horrific.
Yeah, horrific.
The story, I'll be honest with you. Like there's not a lot that, I mean, there was not a lot for them to go off of because nobody, I mean, outside the fact that they found the one guy dead and then yes. they found the dead bear, like that was the gist of the story. So now my personal feeling is that there's a lot of mystery to that original story, yes. the real thing that is cooler than what they kind of did in the movie, to be honest. I mean, because why was he there? Like, what was he doing? Like, I wanted more, like, you know, and the bear, like, I mean, its final moments were literally probably just sniffing the cocaine and dying of a heart attack. Yes. But, you know, like the way that they went in the movie, it was like, okay, so we got to get the drug lord involved that, you yes. know, was like having it smuggled. And then we got to get like, you know, the local police involved because they're trying to figure out, you know, if there's any more cocaine around. And I feel like the plot gets a little convoluted yes. in this movie.
100% convoluted. But can I say the base of the story of a bear getting, I understand why how the coke got there. Like, I understand why you have to have the drug lord and how the coke got there. That makes sense. So that's part of the base too. And then the bear getting its hands on its coke, and then the bear going on a fucking absolute maniacal killing spree on top of everything else. I liked it. So the gist,
yes. Yeah, the gist of that is fine. I mean, and actually it's inspired other people to do some stuff. Like there's a local, I don't know if he's middle school, high. I think he's middle school teacher around here that I did not realize. I mean, he's from the next county over. I met him down at Scarefest, or not Scarefest, at Halloween Horror Nights in Orlando.
Yeah.
He was in my group as we were doing like one of the behind the scenes tours of the houses. Did not realize he was literally from my same neck of the woods. And he has wrote his own screenplay about meth hogs, which is like they're downstream. He said it in Harlan, and these hogs, these wild hogs, are downstream from a meth lab, and they drink the water that's got the meth chemicals in it, and they go crazy and start killing people. I'm like, that's a fucking good idea for a movie. I'd like to actually see that.
I am interested in that. I mean, if you make it, let us review it. Let us be the first.
But the core of this movie, the bear going crazy and attacking people, I'm on board with.
Yes.
But they kept adding more factions to the movie, and it kind of dilutes the movie out, to be honest.
I do like the mama bear aspect because it totally goes in line with the actual cocaine bear too. She was a mama bear.
Actually, it was a he.
Oh, wait, that was a he? I thought it was a she.
No, according to the trivia, it says it was a male bear that they found.
That doesn't make any motherfucking sense, because male bears aren't protective over their cubs, are they?
There was no cubs involved. There was just a dead bear. That's literally the story. Wait.
You're talking about the actual bear.
The actual bear.
I'm talking about in the movie.
The movie was a female. Yeah, yes. It was 100% a female in the movie. I'm just saying.
But Carrie Russell, she was, the, like you said, the proverbial mama bear. And yeah. I think that made sense. I liked all that. So was okay.
Yeah, you need the family aspect to get you involved. So the little kids, and the mama are fine. The Rangers got to be a little much, because why did we need to know that she was like trying to put the moves on Ranger whatever, you know?
Yeah,
like,
that I was mean, that. No.
That didn't. The three punks didn't play out for nothing because they ended up killing all but one of them anyways.
Yes.
So that was a waste. And then like, did we really need like O'Shea, like in the, I mean, like he's fine, but like his character doesn't do a whole lot either. Because it, and I would even argue that the son, Han Solo, you know, yes. Junior there, the only person amongst the drug people that had any screen presence and had any, you know, like when I saw him, I'm like, okay, I like what they're doing here. It was Ray Liotta.
Yes.
I mean, I didn't need any of those other people in the movie that they brought on from the drug lord side. Yeah,
and that's sad because O'Shea Jackson actually is really good in this film. Like, I think he is.
He's good, but, like, his character's kind of, like, just, he's comic relief.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they every time that he does something, you know, it's just like, oh, now I've got more blood on my shirt, or now I've ruined this, or now I've been stabbed in the back. Like, he's comic relief in the movie.
Yeah. So.
And the one cop, he doesn't really do a whole lot either. And then the female cop's the worst because, like, not only is she there at the beginning to be, like, the dog mom or babysitter, but then she comes back and it turns out she's working for the drug lord. And it's like, really? Does that contribute anything to this?
It didn't. No, I agree with you on that.
If they would have trimmed some of that down and had more of the scenes with a bear and, like, you know, maybe, I don't know, improved the CGI or, like, went animatronic with it, I think they would have been a lot better deal overall.
I agree with you on that.
Acting. I mean, we kind of said it, but, like, O'Shea's good. Mm-hmm. Kerry Russell's good.
Even though his story isn't necessary.
Yeah. The kids are fine.
Yeah, although which is a surprise.
Henry's the better of the two.
Yes.
By far.
You know what he reminded me of? One of the kids from Talladega Nights.
He did.
I'm going to climb you like a spider monkey.
I'm going to slap your mouth, Chip.
Yeah.
Let's see. Ray Liotta steals the movie. Ever seen that he's in? He's the best. And really, that's it. Because, I mean, the other actors serve their purpose, but, like, I didn't need them.
They're just side pieces, really.
And we left out when we were talking about the story of the paramedics. I mean, yeah, you have to have paramedics, I guess, but did we really need 10 minutes of them, like, you know, being chased by the bear, like, right in the middle of the movie? Like, I mean, I feel like they could have wrapped that up quicker if they were just going to kill them off anyways. And the music, we mentioned Mark Mothersbaugh, but, like, the music that stands out in this movie to me is more of the pop music. I mean, you know, like...
Oh, yeah, the 80s pop music. It was good.
Yeah, the 80s pop music. And then that one song, Jane or whatever, that starts out the movie. And the reason I bring that up is because it's in the trivia, but it's also the theme song for Wet Hot American Summer, which Elizabeth Banks was in. So I don't know if that's the reason that she chose that.
Yeah. I don't know.
But I don't... The actual, like, score music that I don't... I didn't really pick anything up from it. Did you?
Yeah, and I'm sad because it's Mark Mothersbaugh.
I mean, it's not like you're listening to the Rugrats theme or something.
Exactly.
Or,
yeah, and his music, like you mentioned, it's not like it's crazy noticeable. He's got, like, a wide variety. He's got a range, let's put it that way.
Yeah. Trivia for this. So this was Ray Liotta's final completed film role before his death on May 26, 2022. Aww. He died a week after he came to re-record his lines in post-production. Shit. And Elizabeth Banks says that Liotta praised the look of the bear once he got a look at it. I mean, that's fine. I don't feel like it's that great, but, there was
a few scenes. It was good, but, you know.
Cocaine Bear was intended to be a temporary working title, but the producers decided to release it under that name anyways, since they couldn't think of anything else, really.
I couldn't think of anything else either, and it just fits. I mean, what? People went in fucking insane when they heard about this film. First of all, the name alone, come on now. And to find out that it actually is what the title is.
Yeah, I mean, if you could get fancier with the title, but it would serve the movie no purpose to have a fancier title because Cocaine Bear is literally, it fits what the movie is. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of goofy, kind of, you know, like, I want to say, exploitation type, you know, like throwback type movie. So Cocaine Bear works. I mean, as far as that goes,
definitely.
The real Cocaine Bear, which has been referred to humorously as Pablo Escobar.
Shut up.
Is on display in Lexington, Kentucky as at the Kentucky for Kentucky Fun Mall. It's unconfirmed. Rumors, say that it was previously owned by Waylon Jennings. supposedly this is all a lie, and that's not the actual real bear, but the people who run, you know, Kentucky for Kentucky don't want to hear it. So, you know.
So you're talking about, like, they taxidermied the bear.
Yes.
And they allegedly have.
Pablo-esque bear, yes.
Pablo-esque. This is so dumb.
This movie is dedicated to Ray Liotta for obvious reasons. In real life, Andrew C. Thornton II died jumping out of a plane and getting caught in his parachute. The opening of the film adds the wrinkle of him banging his head on the door while trying to jump out, knocking him unconscious as he falls to his death.
Okay.
Which is probably not how it happened. He probably just, like, legit was either so high or, like, he had never done it before and didn't know how to actually activate it.
Yeah.
Well, no, he's a paratrooper, so he should have known how to do it. So he maybe he just had, like, balls. A bad set.
Bad set, or he was high as balls.
Yeah. Matthew Rhys revealed on Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend podcast that after reading the script, he asked Elizabeth Banks, who was playing Andrew C. Thornton II, when she said it hasn't been cast yet, he said that he would do it mainly to get a break from his kids, who he was looking after while his wife, Carrie Russell, was filming the movie in Ireland. So basically, his wife was away filming.
Yes.
His kids were getting on his nerves, and he's like, well, if you need me to film that one scene, I'll you need somebody, I'll do it because I gotta get the fuck out of this house.
Wow. Dads are fucking a whole different. Holy shit, dude.
When the bear attacks Elsa and Olaf at the beginning of the film, Elsa turns to Olaf and refers to him as Christopher. That's the actor's real name.
Oh, yeah.
It's unclear if that was intentional or merely a mistake that slipped through the editing. It's also unclear why he's billed by both names in the end credits and special features.
Oh, interesting.
The bear in the movie is female, while the real bear was male, as yes. I've said. The only thing I could think of with that Christopher thing is maybe his name was Christopher, but the couple in the movie liked Frozen or something, yeah. And they called each other by those names. I mean,
there was also a Kristoff in Frozen.
But no, well, that couldn't be the case either because it's set in the 80s, so that doesn't explain it. Never mind. I forgot.
Oh, yeah.
So they would have never been able to see that movie.
That's true.
The film opens with Jane by Jefferson Starship, just as one of Elizabeth Banks' first roles did in Wet Hot American Summer. In a 2023 interview with Screen Rant, Elizabeth Banks explained her approach to the man versus nature theme of the film. And this is her quote, "You think you understand who the villain is in the movie, and then at a certain point we tip the scales and you start to realize, oh, right, that bear didn't do anything wrong. This bear is innocent. It just wants more cocaine." I mean, it's been fed by the bad guys. To me, that was also the theme of the movie that I wanted to explore. Man's hubris when it comes to nature, this idea that we feel that we can control nature, we can control animals, we're top of the food chain, bop, 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 and like, I know that's nature's, and I know that nature's going to win. We actually cannot compete. This earth, if it doesn't want us, it'll get rid of us, so we got to watch out.
Yeah.
She's right in everything she said, but I guarantee you that she is one of those climate change people. And it's like, okay, so you admit the earth's wanting to kill us, but you want us to give up everything that we used to fight that death to hopefully the earth will be pacified. Like, I don't understand that mentality. Like, the earth is out to kill us. I mean, nature does not like us. That's just how it is. And we forget that when we're in our comfy, you know, air conditioned houses or whatever, but you go out into the woods and you run into a bear and you'll think otherwise.
Yeah.
This may be considered as the last movie for both Ray Liotta and Paul Reubens because Reubens actually appears as Pee Wee Herman in a period anti-drug use commercial at one point in the movie. With the exception of extras, very few Irish actors were added in this movie. The entire film was made in Ireland, however.
Yeah.
Matthew Rhys wanted to do a prequel film about Andrew C. Thornton II that led up to the events that opened this film. I think that would actually been pretty fun.
Yeah.
I mean, the two hikers, again, are named after the Frozen characters. Andrew Thornton and the hitchhiking couple weren't at the start of the movie in the original script, as I've said. And Christian Convery, who played Henry, actually caught COVID during the shooting of this film.
Oh, wow.
As a result of this, one scene that Convery was done using a double in the background, and a few scenes with Convery himself were shot towards the end of the production after he recovered from COVID.
Nice.
Elizabeth Banks cited the works of filmmakers John Carpenter, Sam Raimi, and Steven Spielberg as influences for the film. She noted that Jaws and Jurassic Park played a role in how she shaped the film.
Nice.
I don't know where she gets Carpenter and Raimi at, though, because, like, well, now, I'll give her
maybe
this.
The
scene with the bear, as it tries to, as it breaks in, you know, like, it, you know, rips the one guy's face that kind of gave me some Raimi vibes, so I get that.
Yeah.
The Carpenter of it all, I don't understand whatsoever, because I don't see any John Carpenter influence in this movie.
Yeah, I have to agree
Spielberg, I can get. I mean, it, you know,
maybe
Jaws is
trying to be,
you know,
like slasher. Maybe that's what she's saying.
John Carpenter's got so many different movies, though. It's like, I mean, what are you trying, or what are you really saying by that comment?
Yeah, I don't know.
Paul Rubens appears in the opening, and Pee Wee Herman is the disavowing drug use alongside Nancy Reagan. But he would go on to play a cocaine distributor in the movie Blow in 2001. So, wow. The same historical event was also used as a basis for an NCIS episode in season 20, episode 4, titled Leave No Trace, where the bear is jokingly referred to as Pablo Escobar. This is also a major plot point in season 4, episode 1 of the show Justified. However, which is set in Kentucky, it involves the main character's father as a possible unknown partner to, you know, Andrew Thornton II or whatever. So, getting to our review of this, I'm going to go first. This movie it's a 3 for me. Like, okay. I like it okay, but when I go back and watch it, there's like some of the stuff we mentioned, it's like too many characters. Too many like little mini plots they're trying to do. If they'd focus more on the bear and like the family, I think they would have been better off. They could have thrown Leota in there as like the other bad guy, you know, like having playing man versus nature that way. And then the kids and the mom have to deal with like, you know, both of them.
Yeah.
That would have been a tighter movie to me. They could have had the side characters, but they need to trim their plots down a lot. Just have them be like, you know, in horror movies, like we watched in the slasher season, which a lot of people, compare this to slasher film, because the bear in the middle of the movie is literally a slasher. That's what it's doing. If they would just had scenes where they introduced us like briefly to the rangers and the paramedics and stuff, but just had them like there and then they're killed, fine. You know, that's what they do in Jason movies all the time.
Yeah,
I just don't give them like 15 minutes worth of exposition just to kill them off. That's too much.
Yeah,
The bear, the CGI, I just wish that they would have spent a little bit more money not for the CGI, because they probably couldn't have done a whole lot with that, but like maybe just like have a good effects person like build something that would have worked. I mean, you know, having something for the actors to react off of would have been better to me, and then you wouldn't have that cartoony look to the bear at times.
Yeah.
And that's probably my other issue with the movie, is like it doesn't – this is my biggest critique of this movie. It doesn't know what tone to hit. Like, it's horror, you know, the reason that horror comedies always get like the worst, like, you know, reaction out of people is because, you know, if you're wanting to go for a comedy movie, you want it to be comedy. If you want your horror, you want to be scared. And a lot of them, they don't do either one of them like justice. And if they do, they lean one way or the other. The best horror comedies do both. And like mix them in perfectly, you know. And we've talked about them. Evil Dead 2, you know, Army of Darkness skews too much comedy, so it's probably on the other side of this. But Evil Dead 2, Shaun of the Dead, Return of the Living Dead, like those movies are scary, but they've got comedy in them.
Yes.
Like this movie didn't know what it wanted to fucking do, because like sometimes it'd be like all out there with O'Shea Jackson, like, man, I just got stabbed again. And then like the next scene, the bear was ripping somebody's face off. It's like, pick a lane or try to merge them better. Like you did. It was like, it was swinging like too far to the left and to the right. And I don't know. I got like a little, you know, like seasick or whatever from just being like, you know,
kind of
slam between the two of them.
Was there anything else?
Generally what we talked about. I mean, that really was my biggest complaint, and I wanted to bring it up. Is just like it doesn't really do a good job of like melding the horror and the comedy, and it goes from one extreme to the other, and you're kind of just left sitting, you know, like in the extremes every time.
Yes. For me, it's slightly different. This is a very enjoyable film. Like, this is a film you can watch if it's on TV. It's enjoyable. The comedy aspect of it, it is very much unbelievable, which makes it kind of a bit ridiculous. I mean, the whole thing about it is ridiculous. That's why they're like, this is an over dramatization of, you know, real life events that allegedly occurred, etc. However, that being said, this was a second or third rewatch for me, and it does have things that we picked apart, kind of like when we watched Wednesday and we kind of reviewed that, and then we kind of like, oh, this went wrong, and then you're just like, ah.
Yeah, you get to the end of it, and you're like, hey, it wasn't as good as I thought it was now that, yes, I look back on it.
So while this was, again, I really enjoy watching this film. I recommend everybody watch this film. It's fun. It's got horror. It's got gore. It's got everything that's going to keep me awake and interested in this film. Like, this film is it. But that being said, some of the things were just a bit too much. And yeah, you're right. Being pulled to and fro during the entire storyline it's not fun. So this movie probably went from maybe a 4.5. It's down to a 3.5 for me.
3.5, I think, is a good range. 3 to 3.5.
Yes.
I don't feel like this movie is like, I mean, I just don't feel like it deserves like the 4 range, just because there's so many things they could have tightened up.
Yes.
That, you know, to make it a better movie.
100%. So good film. It's just not that high up there. But if you really like gore, and there are some horror scenes in too, there was quite a few scenes that had me jumping and screaming. So, yeah.
Anything else you want to add before we wrap this one up?
No, that one, that's easy.
So, next time, are we flipping back to the werewolf side and we're picking up, was it Ginger Snaps this time?
Or I think so. Hold on, let me go to the sheets real quick, our Google Sheets. Let's see. Okay, so we're in March, and no, it's The Howling.
Oh, yes, that is correct.
Yes, so March 14th, The Worm Moon.
So the other big 80s werewolf movie will be reviewed for the next episode.
Yes.
Are we going to try to watch Howling 2, Your Sister is a Werewolf?
We can.
I'm not promising anything. I'm just saying we could throw it in there. It is not, it's by all accounts, not The Howling. So, I mean, it's not like we have to. It's kind of like the equivalent of, I don't know. I mean, it's got its charms, but it's like one of those, so sometimes it's so bad it's good type movies, as opposed to The Howling's just kind of a good movie, you know?
I would be interested in it because I've never seen it. I've seen The Howling, obviously, so I kind of am interested in watching the second one.
Okay, and we're not going to get into like the third or fourth one where they're talking about like where kangaroos or marsupials, whatever's in that fucking movie.
I'm good. Yeah, no, thank you.
All right. Well, with that, folks, peace be with you
and with your spirit.